Down to our final four, you'll have the call of the NFC Championship game on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. And you got to see the Buccaneers advance at the Superdome against New Orleans. We can talk about just another January performance for Tom Brady, but you also got to see what appears to be the end of the Drew Brees career. And that's always tough when you see an athlete walking away, it looks like, when that dream didn't happen for him this year. From everything you hear, it does look like it's the end for Drew, no?
Well, yeah, I guess Glazer came out. We were told once, about the time we were kicking off, that Jay Glazer had come out on the pregame show and said that this would be his last game if they lost. And so I said, well, then it's done. And because in all the years that I've known Glazer, he's never been wrong. I mean, he's never been wrong on a story. I remember when they opened up against Dallas, the 49ers did with Jim Harbaugh, and he came on our broadcast week one of that season and said, even if Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers win the Super Bowl, this will be his last season. I said, wow. I think it's over. I think all indications after the game, the way Drew was out there on the field with his family for 2 hours and all that. So, it was a great career. He surpassed anybody's expectations, and you could have had the highest expectations in the world. Nobody comes into the league expecting that they're going to exit, 20 years later and be the all-time leading passer. So it's been terrific. I do think, and also what he's meant to that city, and you think back when he and Sean Payton got there to New Orleans and how bad they'd been for so long, and now they're annually at the end of or in the postseason and competing for the championship. But that's the disappointment, is that they weren't able to get it done. They won all these games. They averaged over 10 wins a season with him at the at quarterback, and yet to have arguably the greatest ever, certainly in the top 2, 3, 5, whatever, and to have won one Super Bowl, I that's got to be a source of frustration and real disappointment.
Yeah, for sure. Meanwhile, Tom Brady into a conference championship game for, what, the 14th time in 20 years, something remarkable like that. It's just unbelievable. So if you were to put in a tape of Tom Brady from 2010, let's say, what would look different from what we see today? Has really much changed? Or what does your eye see that 43-year-old Tom Brady looks differently from 33-year-old or 23-year-old Tom Brady?
That's a really good question. It's one I've never been asked. And I would tell you that I don't think much. He'd look a little younger, but as far as how he plays the game, I don't think you'd see much of a difference. Tom came into the league. He's never been a mobile guy. Drew was. When Drew first came in the league and was playing with the Chargers, he was pretty mobile. That's never been Tom. His game has been what we've seen all these years, and that's why he was so frustrated earlier in the year with Tampa Bay, that Tom's game's always kind of been about efficiency and just really knowing where to go with the football and not taking sacks and understanding some of the limitations that he has in being able to create. But then he came to Tampa Bay, and Arians in that offense was really wanting to push the ball down the field and the big plays. And so what I saw was a guy who was getting hit a lot, and there were times like that when he was at New England as well, but he always had somewhere to go with the football. So he was never taking the sacks. And in Tampa, he was getting hit a lot. There was nowhere for him to throw the football quickly to get it out when the line had some issues. And I know it was frustrating for him. And then you watch him now, he's got answers. And yet they're still getting the big plays. So I really think that right now what we're seeing from Tom is the Tom that we've seen in New England. And I think Tom, when we talked to him last week, he said that he told Bruce Arians, thereafter their bye week, that if he can't be – the only way he can be Tom Brady and look like Tom Brady is if he's decisive and getting the ball out. He says, if I'm doing that, then I look like Tom Brady. And he's looked like the Brady that we've known for so long, at least over the last month of the season, probably over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. And then he looked a lot like the Tom Brady we've seen in January the other night. He really played well.
And now they see a Green Bay team that puts up 484 total yards and 32 points against the number one defense in the NFL. I know Aaron Donald wasn't 100%, but that's still really good defensive unit. They've been doing that a lot here in the last month. 35 points against Chicago, 40 against Tennessee, 34 against the Colts. Fair to say the Packers have the best offense of the four teams left. And I know people in Kansas City may take exception to that, but boy, results tell you that here in the last month.
Yeah, they've been they've been really good all season long, with the exception really of the one game that we had when they played Tampa in Tampa Bay back in week six. They were not very good. Rodgers was not very good. But, yeah, I think it's a I don't think you can say enough good things for Matt LaFleur and the offense that he brought to Green Bay and then Aaron Rodgers, because I don't want to slight anybody on that roster. They've got Devontae Adams, who's a terrific player, and Robert Tonyan, he's had a great season, their tight end. But when you stack that group up against a lot of others around the league, they wouldn't rate all that highly. And yet here they are moving the football against the best defense in the game, like you said, and they've been doing it against pretty much everyone, and it's impressive to see. They went out last year. They drafted a quarterback in the first round. Everybody kind of scratched their head. I know Aaron Rodgers did because of some of the needs that they had in other areas. That quarterback, of course, has not played, and they didn't add much to it. But yet here they are once again in the NFC Championship game. So Aaron's playing better than any quarterback in the game right now. The next guy would be Brady. So I think it will be a really great matchup. Sometimes you get to the championship game, usually both teams are playing well, but sometimes – one team's getting there and stumbling a little bit. That's not the case. I think both these teams are playing their best football of the season. They're both really confident, and it should be a really, really great matchup. I'm glad there's going to be fans there. There's going to be about 3,500, which there was last week. And there is a bit of an advantage in a year of a pandemic in Green Bay because of the weather. But you always worry about the people who are handling the ball, particularly the quarterback, and it won't be a factor for Brady either. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue, and I think it's going to be a great scene. They're calling for snow. It should be a lot of fun for everyone watching.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the fan element, which we've been, for the most part, missing this season, and now that we're getting to these big playoff games, you know, at the Superdome, it would have been, I would think, a very, very different environment if you've got 65,000 Saints fans going crazy. Same thing at Lambeau. Do you think it's tilting the results of these games at all, or yeah, is it not that big of a factor? It just makes it more fun for all of us.
No, I think it is. I believe, I don't quote me on this, but I believe the road team has won more games than the home team this year during the regular season, and I think that that's a big reason why. It is different. I don't think it's near as daunting. Seattle lost that. New Orleans lost that. You get a home playoff game, and you have to go into New Orleans and play. That's a hard place to go and play efficiently offensively, trying to communicate and get the linemen all coming off the ball at the same time. It's a challenge, but it's not any longer. I mean, you can hear them. You can hear the quarterbacks. You can hear the road quarterbacks, you know, changing the plays at the line of scrimmage. So it's balanced things out. It as far as having home field advantage, or and none of that really means as much. It doesn't mean much at all, quite honestly, other than the fact you don't have to play an extra game. So I don't think going to Lambeau, other than the weather, but the scene's totally different. And as someone who has been to Lambeau in the biggest of games, the last time they hosted the championship game, we called that game with Favre's last game as a Packer, and then Eli Manning and the Giants winning, and then going on and winning the Super Bowl. It's just such an unbelievable scene, and it'll still be great. It'll still be great, but it's not. It's just not quite the same, and it's not the same for the players who feed off of that.
It's Troy Aikman with us here on the ticket for his weekly visit. The other championship game in the AFC, Buffalo at Kansas City, and all the Chiefs fans are wondering what the condition is of Patrick Mahomes after that scare in the third quarter on Sunday. For our younger P1s, back when Troy played, the Cowboys went to Super Bowls. In fact, they won three in 4 years, just a bit of context there. But
didn't we? All
yeah, right. Son of a gun. It was a while back, but yeah. But I did think about you when I saw Mahomes and heard about the concussion protocol, because the way I remember it, the week the ticket started as you're going to Super Bowl 28 under current concussion protocol, would you have played in that Super Bowl?
I can't imagine that I would have been able to play. Yeah, I was actually just talking with someone about that I never missed a game the following week after a concussion. And, you know, that was the worst one that I had, in that game in the third quarter, and don't have, you know, any recollection of having played in the game. So I spent the night in the hospital. We didn't have the bye week that week either, in between the championship right. game and the Super Bowl. So I actually got discharged from the hospital about 7 in the morning. I had enough time to get home, get packed, and get to the airport to get on the charter to head to Atlanta for that game. So, yeah, it's changed a lot. And I think, you know, it's really good, of course, that there is a third party that's involved in evaluating these players. And then they go into the concussion protocol, and they've got to meet certain requirements. But as organizations, nobody wants to say the C word. You know, nobody wants to say concussion. So it's always, I think, when you get to these important games, you know, how is it handled? And I know that Andy Reid, right after the games, he was asked how he was doing. He said, oh, he's doing well. He's doing really well. Yeah, he feels good. You know, so how much of that is how he really is, or how much of it is just trying to position it publicly to where there's no backlash if he plays? You know, I don't know. It becomes a tough deal. I mean, obviously, if Patrick Mahomes isn't out there playing, it's a little different kind of ball game for the Chiefs. But that's another one. You know, these young quarterbacks, I think it's pretty fun. When you look at the NFC with Brady at 43 and Rodgers at 37 years old or whatever he is, and then on the other side, these young guys, Mahomes and Josh Allen now, you know, on the scene in the NFL and landscape, I think it's really great seeing these quarterbacks have been doing it for a long time, and now you've got this younger group that is really going to be the face for the league for the next 10, 12, 15 years. I think, you know, there's always people who wonder, gosh, you know, what's this league going to look like when these guys leave? And I think people felt that when Joe Montana and Jim Kelly and John Elway and Dan Marino, and you say, well, who's going to be the next face of the league? And then, you know, you usher in Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and it's great. And now we've got Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and it's going to continue to be great. And it's always going to continue to be great. And I'd put Dak in that category as well once he comes back and he gets healthy and is able to play again.
Well, speaking to Jim Kelly on that Buffalo-Baltimore broadcast, they were showing highlights of the last time the Bills advanced this far in the playoffs, and they showed Jim Kelly, and it got me wondering, do you keep in contact with the quarterbacks from that era that were your peers that you played against in big games, like Kelly or Young or, you know, some of the other guys that Favre that you may have seen every year at the Pro Bowl or you saw every year in the playoffs?
I do. I keep up with Jim. I talk with him a fair amount during the course of the year and communicate with him. And then, funny, you ask about Favre. I was just texting with him during the game on Sunday that, you know, when I was preparing last week and I was thinking of Tom Brady going to Tampa at 42 years old, and then he turns 43. And it doesn't always work out the way that we think that it is supposed to when you go out and you sign these type of guys. And then I thought, you know, who else did that? And I remember Joe Montana in 93 when he went to Kansas City, took him to the championship game. And then, of course, Favre at 40 years old. And we had that game when they lost to the Saints, which is still one of my favorite NFC championship games. And it was arguably his best year of his career. He was terrific. And I thought, well, that was really cool at that age. And at that time, nobody had really gotten to 40 years old and was still playing at that level. And so I had asked our producer if we'd put a little something together, and I reached out to Favre right before we ran it, and he was excited about it. So I've been communicating with him from time to time, but yeah, it's been one of the things that I've really enjoyed most about my career and having been a part of the National Football League is just some of the relationships and with those type of guys. I shot actually a Frito-Lay commercial last week with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. So I got to catch up with Joe, and I run into him from time to time also in the off season. But yeah, it's great. And I think that, you know, we all, when we do get together and we talk, we tend to really marvel more about where the game is now and some of these young guys that we talked about and the things that they're able to do. And I think we all just kind of still shake our head and think that whenever we start talking about the days when we did it, we think, gosh, you know, it just seems like so long ago, you know, that a lot of life has passed since then for all of us.
Is that going to be a Super Bowl commercial, that Frito-Lay commercial?
It is. It's going to be awesome. It's Marshawn Lynch. Remember he did the before the season began?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now they've done one for the Super Bowl. It'll be airing probably shortly after these NFC championship or the championship games, and it's the old-timers. So the Mannings are in it, Peyton, Eli, and Archie. Then I'm in a scene with Joe and Jerry, which I've seen, and it was great. He's narrating it again. I'm trying to think who else. There's other. Deion Sanders is in it. But, yeah, it's all the old-timers. But it was really well done, and they're pretty fired up about it.
I know you're thankful for your sponsors during the telecast. Do you ever watch a commercial during a game? Do you ever find
– no,
or you just take
what?
That as a break time?
I don't have – Joe – so even when – that's a good question, because even when we go to game breaks – I don't have a live feed I can see it, but I got to look way on the other side of Joe in order to even see what programming is. So, no, I never know what commercial's on. I hardly see when we do a game break in the regular season, you know, what the hell happened. And so it's just, you know. It's a pretty loose operation we're running up there. You know, we're running on a shoestring budget. It's not, you know, kind of like you guys over there.
Right. Hey, we can relate to that. Yeah, we've been doing that for 27 years now. How we live.
Oh, you get it. It doesn't matter.
That is the truth. Well, awesome. Have a good trip. It promises to be a great game on Sunday. And, we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. See you guys.
That's the great Troy Aikman.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.